Welcome to Imagine This Podcast,
the show where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and the incredibly vibrant arts and culture community in a new way. The best laid plans of mice and men.
You're talking about the crypto crash, the great crypto crash of 2021, right? I'm forcing this bit.
I was talking about this episode, actually. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Imagine This Podcast, where you actually get to see and hear David and I carry out the title as in real time. We are going to imagine this.
We're
going to
imagine this together. That's right.
A little backstory, David. Do you want to give a little backstory of how we got to this moment?
Yeah.
This is like, you know, by the way, let me pause. Listener, this is like when you watch one of those shows and like when you turn on the episode starts and you're in the middle of it and it's almost like, wait, why is the main character robbing a bank? And then there's like, and then like there's this moment, and then all of a sudden it cuts to like 2 days before, and it sort of takes you to the moment. So that's, I'm just letting the listener know how we got to this moment where David and I are going to be improvising a podcast for you. Go ahead, David. Let's give a little backstory.
How we so got a couple weeks ago, as we were planning all of our great guests for National AAPI Month, we were like,
everybody. By the way, 1:30 every Tuesday is. Yeah. ITP planning. It's on the, if you want to jump in
on the calendar, that's right.
I'm going to jump in that meeting. We'll share with you the Zoom chat. You're welcome to join us, but we do this. It's not like I show up on a Friday and just hit record and like whatever the heck comes to our minds. Right. There's intentionality. All right, go ahead, right. Dave.
And we were like, you know, wouldn't it be great to have our good friend Christine Yoon from the Wallace Foundation on? And so we were like, let's ask her, right?
Why is the Wallace Foundation relevant to this podcast?
Because it is an arts funder. It's a national arts funder. They've been doing a lot of work in terms of like thinking about what, how to invest in minority-led organizations.
I've been looking at audience analysis, yeah, right? Right? How the arts and culture audiences are built and how they're built inclusively.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Mac, but just they put out this really great scenario planning toolkit at the beginning of COVID as well. I mean, right, they are doing a lot of stuff around arts. And we happen to know Christine Yoon, who is their senior program officer in the arts portfolio. And we're like, what a great thing.
What a great get. What a great get. Not only on topic, but Christine's one of the coolest people.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And so as we were scheduling out the AAPI month interviews, our colleague Lindsay, who you'll notice is not on the show today, was like, you know, you should interview Christine on the day that I'm going to be off. I'm taking some time off. I'm going to Minneapolis.
So she needed. Everybody needs. Yeah, She's actually taking time off. We all need this time off. She took it.
So
Respect. So this is what happens, y'all. Again, this is, you'll notice that we're not pinning this on Christine. Let's be clear. I'm going to illustrate for you. This is our system. This is how our system's set up. We record usually on Fridays. David cuts the episode on the weekend, and then we post on Tuesdays. Pretty straightforward. We've been doing this for a long time.
That's right.
Maybe 2 years, but in podcasting life, that's like a decade. That feels like forever. Okay, so
we've been doing this podcast for more time of our organizational life than not, right?
So everybody, this is not, again, fly by night. There's a system here, but you probably recognize where there might be an opportunity where the system gets disrupted, which was yesterday, where Christine, you know, sent us an email going like, hey man, I'm so excited. You know, I love the prep questions. I'm really excited. And unfortunately, or is it possible we could bounce because, you know, just not feeling well, right? And that happens, right, David?
It happens.
So us being cool, because we're going to have her on next week. So this is not the episode she'll be on next week. And because it's still AAPI month now and whatnot. And
It's always AAPI month,
everybody, right, when we're hosting it. But here's the deal. That meant like the day before, we're kind of stuck because it's like, oh, geez, what are we going to do? Like, and here's the real, right? Hashtag real talk. I don't feel good about asking somebody the day before. Like for those of you who watch Conan O'Brien, when he was on NBC, when he was late night, Tony Randall was the guest. So if Tony Randall was the third guest, you knew, or like those of us who watched the show enough knew, somebody canceled. They called Tony Randall. Tony, can you come in, do a panel, ... We're not Conan O'Brien. We're not at that level where we have people that we feel good about. Hey, listen, oh my gosh, our scheduled guest isn't coming. Can you come in and do an episode with us? And quite candidly, we wanted to stay on AAPI theme.
Yeah. Right.
Blah, blah, blah. So there we are, me and David yesterday, like thinking about people we could invite that are also API leaders. But quite candidly, I would say my biggest fear calling them is I did not want them to make them feel like, oh, now is your when you call me when you, you know, like I just couldn't live with myself.
You had a whole month and now the day before is when you call me. Come on, right?
That's
right.
But that's the truth, right, David? That's the truth. I just didn't want to deal with the truth of the situation.
Right.
And we haven't built out a system where we have a backup episode. Because quite again, we kind of want things to be timely.
Yeah.
You know, this part of the interview, right, is usually we're reacting in the wake of the news stuff. In fact, we're trying to predict the news because again, we record on Friday, goes on Tuesday. Right. So there's some stuff we miss. Or sometimes we trip up and talk about, oh, I'm looking forward to that football game on Sunday. It already happened. Okay. Yeah. So David, we never did book anybody yesterday.
No, we talked about it. And then
we mentioned like five people and none of us wanted to spend the relationship capital to risk the possibility that they'd feel slighted.
Well, I also like how like before our 4 o'clock team meeting, you were like, hey, I'm in the Zoom room. Do you want to jump in to talk about sports as opposed to talk about planning for the podcast meeting?
I didn't think you wanted to spend 5 minutes. I thought this was an hour long situation room conversation. Not, oh, we've got 5 minutes in front of the meeting.
Right.
Let's talk about how great Matt Duffy has been for the Cubs,
right,
you know, and rub it in about how
former Giant.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring up Matt Duffy and the fact that the Warriors dropped the game to, you know, who knows if they'll make it to the playoffs. We'll know by now because.
Well, right.
All right. So here we are.
Fast forward, right?
We got to record this episode. Yeah. We didn't want to have no episode. We're committed to you, the listener. Yeah. All of you who listen every week. We're committed to a good product. We're committed to a great episode of what matters to us.
Wait. So this is what it was this morning, right? So this is, we're recording right now at about 2 o'clock.
In the afternoon. Which is not our usual sweet spot for recording. Usually it's 10 a.m.
It's in the morning, right? And so in the morning at 10 o'clock, we get on the in our podcast recording Zoom room and we're talking about, you know, what should be our podcast topic?
What are we going to do?
Yeah, what are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
And we talk about it's API month, you know, Asian restaurants. It's Asian restaurant week.
Yeah.
Should we do like power ranking of Asian restaurants? And we start going down this rabbit hole of like
work avoidance of it, right? Quite candidly, work avoidance. Like we didn't want to address the question at hand, which is like we actually should be recording an episode. We kept talking hypothetically, what could the episode be about? And you're like, oh, let's power rank all these Asian restaurants. And quite candidly, we already did like a fantasy draft of restaurants in January. And I felt
it was a good episode.
I loved it, but I felt like, yeah, we're going to break that thing out 6 months later. It feels like, geez, we're out of ideas.
With just the two of us, right? Without the whole team.
Yeah. So I wasn't crazy about it. Right. But you kept talking. And then also quite candidly, you know, I don't have enough restaurants to necessarily.
Well, it turns out, and I don't want to throw your partner in the bus, but you shared with everybody that your partner was not super excited about Chinese restaurants, right? And so I had to share that.
You had to defend the honor of Chinese restaurants.
That's right. And so we went down like good Chinese restaurants in the Milwaukee area, and I happened to say, hey, have you been to that seafood buffet, that Asian buffet in Franklin? And you're like, no, which one? And as for longtime listeners of the podcast and people who know us now, right, know that Mac, one of his big worries coming out of the pandemic was whether or not buffets would come back.
That was a genuine fear. I mean, I've worked out. I've dropped 80 pounds knowing that I was going to come back to buffets. Like I wanted to come back ready to be, you know, fight and wait for these buffets. But
so Mac Googles Lover's Lane Asian seafood buffet. And like the strangest thing happened. He's like, let's go. And I'm like, wait a second. We have to record a podcast. But wait, what's stopping us?
Yeah, what's stopping us, right? And I, you know, I had a meeting at a certain point and... But we named out all the reasons why we couldn't do it. But then we quickly kind of unpacked, well, we could do that, shift that, do this, whatever. And then we were left with, well, there's no dumb reason why we can't have, we both are hungry. We've talked ourselves in.
It's
lunchtime-ish. And so outside of the fact that it's 30 minutes away from both of our respective places, we were like, fine, let's go. And so you're like, all right, I'll see you there. And I jump in my car, race. And I meet you for lunch and we have Asian buffet. And quite candidly, again, those who weren't there, I stood for, there's a hibachi section. So when you think about going to a buffet, there's like, grab your plate and go. I get it. But I actually stood by the hibachi guy, which is an area where you can kind of like Mongolian barbecue of a hotel. Yeah. Like you put the you put the raw stuff on the plate, you give it to the person, and then they prepare in front of you, heat it up in front of you, made to order, custom. And just for those that were wondering, it was about 2 ounces of chicken, 2 ounces of beef, a lot of jalapeno peppers, onions, tons of, you know, I like it hot and spicy. And so he's doing it in front of me. And I got to admit, like in that time, where again, buffets are not a time of reflection. I had a moment where I stood there going, oh my gosh, it's been 16 months since I participated in this process. I'm about to break the buffet fast.
Yeah.
This is, whoa, this is amazing and wondrous. You know, meanwhile, you're already on plate two.
Like
you're
already I was ready.
Like, you're going like
plate of muscles and everything.
Yeah, you're doing it. You're doing the thing. And so I finally had the bocce and I sat down and we broke bread and we had a buffet. First buffet I've had since maybe we went to Bollywood Grill.
Bollywood Grill,
February 2020. Right. You know, that was about it. And here we are. And we broke, and all throughout the thing, we kind of reflected on what did it mean that we decided to shirk our duties of recording this podcast and just go to buffet. I'm like, this tells us something about us, right? This is something.
Yeah. But I think here's the thing, right? Like, I think, so two really uplifting bits of news, just personal news, right? Is that like, A, the buffet made it through COVID, right? Like the practice of going to a buffet has made it, right? Like you got to get people back in and sort of like,
you know what though, knowing what America is, I didn't have a doubt we'd find a way to do this.
How do we shovel
copious amounts of food in a short amount of time? Like, I think we're pretty resourceful people. I think America was going to find a way to get from A to B on that one.
Right.
But go ahead, David. I know you.
The second piece is, and I think those of you who know us know, is that like, you know, Max and my relationship has you know grown over the years, but it is really like as a foundation in just eating lots of quantities of food. And like for someone like Mac, who's sort of
usually at 4 a.m.
Usually at 4 a.m. Right. At a conference at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, right, like Mac is, I'm so inspired by your fitness journey in this last year. It has been incredible. Your transformation has been, I'm so happy that you're healthy and everything else. But there was a part of me that was like a little bit sad that we wouldn't be able to eat together.
Prefontaine style. Just Prefontaine. Like just no limits. Just go hard on the first lap, right? We weren't going to have, you're right. I didn't know if I was ever going to eat that way, honestly. Yeah. But today there's something with there's like, let's go crush this buffet. Let's lay waste to it. Right.
You were very judicious though. I was mindful.
Yeah. I was very measured, but there, you know, honestly, I had an attitude of like, David, let's make them take our photos so that they would never let us back in. Like, let's burn this place. Let's go crazy. You know, like card counters at a casino. I want the thugs to go, you can't eat more crab rangoon. That's too much crab rangoon.
Too many steam muscles.
King crab.
That's right. The money
balling. There was no king crab.
Money balling the buffet, right? Like going to soup plantation, just eating all the pine nuts. Just like
pine nuts, sun-dried tomatoes, and blue cheese. That's what we call money balling the salad bar. That's how you make money on the salad bar. Just eat pine nuts. So your listener, I know you're going like, what does this have to do with arts and culture? What does this have to do with any? Just hang with, trust us. Just you're going to have to trust the process on this one. So we had this meal, and I think what's really cool is that it's the first meal we've had, right? That again, not back to normal, but semblances of a time of like, you know, I'm vaccinated, you're vaccinated.
Yeah.
Can't really say for the folks that we're trusting that it happened, but you know, gosh, I real talk, you don't know, but you hope. It was fine, right? It was fine. Yeah. It was a fine buffet, you know, just like riding a bike, got back into it.
Yeah.
You
know, you'd mentioned the hibachi guy. When I went up to the hibachi after, you know, my second or third play, whatever it was, I had this weird moment because he's like, you know, making my lo mein or whatever. And he waves to a guy who's sitting in, you know, the row of seats right behind the hibachi area. And the guy sort of waves back and he comes up and they actually have this like moment of like, hey, I really missed you.
Because he's our usual.
Yeah.
He's like usual. Yeah, this guy's a regular. This guy was a regular.
Yeah, and the guy who he waved to and came over to have a little bit of a moment with him, he was like, yeah, you guys just opened this last week, right? And the hibachi guy's like, yeah, we just opened last week, so on and so forth. And he's like, yeah, I saw it, and I'm texting my friends, got to come back. They're open again.
Mm.
And I think that moment of connection, right, I think is again, that thing that we kind of talked about last week with Pardeep, right? The sense that, like, we've been so disconnected, right, from each other through physical distancing over the last year. And like these spaces, whether it's an arts and culture space, a museum or whatever it might be, or even a restaurant, right, or something as sort of regular as a buffet, right, can be a place where people connect and like and share that sense of humanity, right, with each other. And I thought that was actually a really beautiful moment between the hibachi guy and random Franklin resident.
Yeah, it was. I'm glad we did it. And I think the other reason why we're sharing you the story, it's not to fill time, because it's not like we have some sort of network commitment of X amount of episodes or else we get sued by Disney
by
or
Spotify.
Something.
Yeah,
no, right. We're doing this because there's a reason we're doing this. I think I sort of thought there's some element of how like what happened today is indicative of like what it's like working at a place like Imagine MKE, or working at our organization, which is this notion of like, okay, what's an idea that you have? And okay, what are the things that make that not a great idea? Can you get to yes on that? Right. How can you get somebody to yes? And then if it's like, you can get to yes enough, then is it worth a try? Give it a go. Right. And see what happens, right? And I think that's something about the spirit of working here, which is, you know, there's a lot to work on, and there's something to be said about having a strategic plan and intentionality, but there's also something about the wonder and whimsy of just trying an experiment, you know, that isn't super high stakes, and sort of seeing what you can get from that and learn from that. And I think today's, again, dare I say, you know, our adventure in buffeting sort of speaks to sort of that culture you're talking about, right? The culture here in Imagine.
Yeah. And also kind of practically, in very practical sense, a good indication of what life was like pre-COVID, right? Like I feel like what happened today could have been something that happened, you know, in 2019 or early 2020, is, you know, we're working on a Friday and suddenly people are like, hey, is it a good day for curry? Time for a Bollywood grill, and you know, so yeah, so practice, so in practice, and also as an idea, right? It was sort of like it was a good articulation of what life has been like at Imagine, or was like, and can be again.
Yeah. So as we pivot, right, we're still committed to doing this episode, and again, we are going to do it. We're doing the episode. There's no gonna.
We're already doing it.
We're doing it. So, but we're like, well, what am I in for as a listener? Like, what's the point of this episode? We wanted to stay on theme, right? With API month, we kind of joke, well, every month's API month, isn't it? When David and Mac are, you know, kind of in this organization. And yeah, that's kind of true. But yet at the same time, it's also kind of novel. You don't usually have folks like us, you know, leading organizations and having visible roles in leadership, right? That's just kind of the way of the world. And so on some level, it's like we're taking it for granted, but at some level you should call it out. And that's the whole point of this month, is just celebrating that and doing that. But I think what also that speaks to is again, what does it mean to create a culture? What does it mean to create a culture that is, you know, beyond API month, is inclusive of identities or inclusive of folks?
Yeah.
Because that's what we want. That's what we want Milwaukee to be. That's what we want our arts and culture sector to be. So we have to parallel process it as best we can, you know, internally. And so that's, I think that's something that's been in front of mind for us, you know, and we're thinking about. And I think as a society, we're thinking about that, right? Collectively, how are we being more inclusive? And that's what we wanted to explore on today's episode.
Yeah, you know, I was so inspired by our conversation last week with Pardeep about how, conversation builds understanding, understanding builds closeness, and being able to have that sense of closeness and understanding of each other helps to essentially heal wounds, right? If you're able to witness somebody's wounds without kind of taking it defensively, I think I wrote that on a check-in question earlier this week, that is how we build a path forward together as a community. And so one of the practices that Mac has really brought to our team is that we kind of convene not only our internal staff team, but also even with folks who participate with us, whether it's through work groups or other affinity convenings, is that we come together in sort of and look at how we show up to our work in person role and system. And we do a good amount of reflection of who we are as people in the work and in the system that is before us. And so I think it's been an interesting practice, because I don't know that I've ever been in an organization that allows, right, that sort of creates that culture where you can show up and sort of reflect on who you are in full.
Right. And for those that are listening and might not be familiar, David, he's, you know, sort of dropped some jargon on you that's kind of like language in our office. We talk about a phrase, a person, role, system. And if I were to quickly define it, it's looking at yourself in a three dimensions, and the notion of your person, who you are in person, is this notion of your experiences, your worldviews, your preferences, all of identities that make you, you, right? And you're conscious of them and you're unconscious of them. There's some things that are you that you might not be aware of, right? So your intentionality is, how do you keep getting in touch with all those dimensions of who you are? And then in turn, think about what role you take on, right? And so what elements of your person do you bring into the role? And again, and imagine I'm the senior director of Collective Impact, David's the CEO, but recognizing, you know, in other areas, we have different roles. Some are formal, informal. So you got to be aware, it's kind of like a dance. Sometimes you're holding multiple roles at the same time. But the reason why we care about that is, what elements are you bringing from your person consciously into your role, so you can impact the system you're in, be it a system of Imagine or the system of arts and culture or the system of Milwaukee as a city, right? We're all in multiple systems at the same time. All this to say, a lot of stuff is hiding in plain sight or blurred. And what we believe, or at least what I believe, and what, you know, folks have taught me, believe, is that you have to be cognizant of all this stuff. And we have to normalize it by being able to talk about, this is how I'm in person, this is how I'm taking it into role. Therefore, when I can use it in role to push the boundary of my role, so I can disrupt and change the system towards where we want it to be. And if everybody can do that in their own way and we can align it, we could actually have a different outcome. So that's, we talk about personal role system. That's why we talk about it so much, just so that we're aware of it and we can normalize that. So then we can make choices, cognitive choices, to lead. And so I would say that's my leadership definition. How am I activating elements of my person consciously to in my role to push on a system? That's what leadership means. Conversely, recognizing some of the systems we in impact how we hold our role, which in turn, some of the ways we are holding our role may really affect how we show up in person. So there you go. It's both and. It's not just internal to external, but external also has pressures to internal. So there you go, everybody. That's person, role, system. That's a nutshell. If you like it, come to the workshop.
Max, you're here all week.
I'll be here all the week. Tip away. Yeah. So there you go, David. Thank you for allowing me this side to do
that. Yeah, no, that's really great. And I think, you know, we have you sort of at Imagine, we've also done a lot of work in terms of like doing a little bit of a culture inventory, just sort of to see how we are, right? And how we show up and are with each other. And one of the ways in which we have been practicing, not only in the staff at Imagine, but also in the board level, in building some of these deeper relationships, is that one of our board members, Beth Ridley, who is the proprietor of the Brimful Life, who does, you know, a lot of this sort of organizational coaching, organizational development, has given us this little booklet of 50 diversity and inclusion questions to help broaden perspectives and deepen relationships. And so we thought, wouldn't it be great during AAPI month to share a little bit more about Mac and me in person as we go through a random question in this book?
Yeah, so that's what we're gonna do for that. And so what I hear is a lot of people turning off their podcast and clicking on to WTF or clicking on to something by, you know, they're gonna catch up on back episodes of Serial. I don't know, which is fine. But honestly, we're like, let's try it. Let's go for it. So that's what we're gonna do, David. So David right now has a booklet, and we're gonna just go through a couple of these. And I guess the spirit is, we're gonna be totally honest. These are not planned. We don't know I don't know what's gonna be coming. And we'll just see from there. And I guess my hope is that by us sharing, we invite you to reflect on what are these answers for you, or what might it look like in your system, be it an organization, formal, informal, to think about these. So, and David, you know, we probably got the link. We'll have the link to the book, right?
Yeah, obviously, that's right.
Way long. So let's have at it.
All right. Totally random. I'm just opening some random page.
All right, go ahead.
All right.
Greg, before we go on, the rules of it. Are you just asking me or are you going to answer this?
I'll answer too. Or should I just pick another random question? So we'll go you, me, and then are we going to answer the same question or not?
But again, pure transparency. Let's just read it and we'll both take a swing at it. We could skip it. Maybe like I got nothing else to add. Move on. So.
All right. Yeah, this is a doozy. What about diversity makes you uncomfortable and why?
Oh my God. So there's no
ramp up.
You just, all right. Okay. Say it one more time.
I tried to read it really fast because it's, what about diversity makes you uncomfortable? Why?
Okay. What about diversity makes me feel uncomfortable? There's a couple dimensions I'll take. One swing is this. One of the things that makes me uncomfortable about diversity is that let me pull back. When we try to talk about, I'll own it, right? Sometimes when I think about complex issues, right? We ultimately try to explain them. And when we get to explaining them, we'll sometimes move to shorthand to encompass a lot of things. And I think for me, what makes me uncomfortable is diversity has kind of become societally one of those words we get to be shorthand about. And then what happens is we don't have a level set on what diversity means for David means something else for somebody. Right. So I get it. I get it because I think our society prioritizes speed and efficiency in getting to the thing. I know I do. Right. But I think what makes you uncomfortable is like, I don't know if we really understand, like we have a shared understanding what diversity is. That's one thing that makes me uncomfortable. The other thing about diversity that makes me feel uncomfortable is as much as I think I'm a curious and wondering person who tries to be humble and knowing I don't know everything, I know that I'm challenged when I'm facing experiencing identities or experiencing things that are very new to me and I'm afraid of doing it wrong. Right. And again, I know you can't do diversity wrong, but like I think that's what comes up for me. And I'm not saying that's what has to be. That's just to me, it's associated with it. Right. The fact that if you're really going to be open to diversity, you really have to be open to all these possibilities that are coming at you. And as someone who wants to be correct all the time, that's really tough because then I have to accept that I'm going to be wrong. I'm going to trespass. I'm going to fail. How do I make sure I fail with dignity? And how do I make sure I fail in a way that doesn't injure the other person? Mm-hmm. And that makes me uncomfortable because I don't know if I can do that right. So right. That's me.
Yeah, I think one thing that I'd add is while I believe and recognize and know that diversity and diverse systems, right, diversity makes systems more resilient and more anti-fragile. It creates getting different things. I'm not saying people, right? Just different things. When I think about diversity, it's different pieces of perspectives, different backgrounds, different everything together in a system, whether it's an organization, a neighborhood, whatever it might be. It just is difficult. It's difficult, right? For all the reasons that you just outlined. While it creates more strength, it's not efficient. Like I think about my previous life in food, right? Like when you think about monocultures where they're growing like fields and fields and fields of spinach, that is not diverse, right? That's not a diverse agricultural system, but it is incredibly efficient. You get high yield, high production for a time, right? And then, but if you were to plant the same land with a whole bunch of different crops, right? Like it might make the farm stronger, but you're not getting as much spinach. And so it just I think that kind of stuff, the challenge of incorporating differences into a unified system for upward efficiency just can be challenging. And that's why it makes me uncomfortable.
And when you name that, David, it's for me to own that I've been indoctrinated and I've been brought up in systems that have prioritized speed, that have prioritized efficiency. So I'm not saying that's the only way, but that's what I've been indoctrinated to. So I default to that, right? And so it's really hard to include. And the reality is, David, it doesn't have to be that. You know, we don't have to prioritize speed, although we want urgent results. differently, obviously. Yeah. But if you need to go strong, you need to go together, right? And so I think that's the tension. And I'll name it, right? Nonprofit life. I've spent my life in the nonprofit sector. You're always like on the grant cycle. I got to prove that I got a thing by this time. And so you do that over and over and over. And the reality is the stuff isn't getting solved overnight because of, and I don't want to get on a rant about that world, but I think that's some of the things I'm trying to unlearn and unpack, that really including diverse voices is nuanced and difficult and have to be up for it. And that's, and again, uncomfortable isn't bad. It's just, I know it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
I'm reflecting a little bit on the conversation that you all had in your, in the, Arts Leaders Advancing Public Health cohort earlier this week.
Yeah.
For those of you who may not know, Mac is leading this really awesome cohort of arts leaders trying to align their work with public health goals. And some of that, this last conversation really reminded me of some of the talk in that cohort about how the work, how measurement oftentimes, and the need for measurement and the need for outcomes sometimes undercuts the ability for people to actually make the best decisions for work, for partnerships, for relationship building, all that stuff that we know is important, but it's hard to write in a grant, right? It's hard to measure. It's hard to commodify.
Right. And again, we want to write in a grant because we want the person to fund it, right? Because that's the currency they're talking about. And I think the challenge is, well, shouldn't we be talking about who's closest to the issue? Like what matters to them? And that's really, I think in order for that to happen, you really have to be in a relationship with the folks that are closest to the issue. And that's, that takes time because that takes trust, and trust takes a long time to build. And so, and that's uncomfortable, you know, because they want it yesterday. People want results yesterday. So anyway, so there you go. Okay. That was fun so far.
That was fun. That wasn't that scary, right?
No, I don't have a scare. I just hope it's compelling potting. That's my hope. I think it is. Do I get to? I'm going to pick a number. See, I don't have the book in front of me, so I'm going to pick a page number. And
there's no pages, but I got the next one. It's random.
All right, go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah, fine.
This is also another.
You could have humored me. I was going to give you a number, and you'd be like, "All right, here it is." I wouldn't have known. I was going to say 33 for Scottie Pippen. Just for those that are wondering, I said 33 Scottie. So go ahead, 33 Scottie Pippen.
Do you ever feel the need to hide a part of yourself to fit in?
Yes. Not well, okay, sorry. I've felt that in my life. I feel that less now. I feel lesser and lesser as I get older.
Maybe. Is that a function of age, or is that a function of
partially it's a little bit of age, it's a little bit more wisdom. And it's more being comfortable with self, of who I am as in myself. But I would say that say that one more time. Just say it.
Do you ever feel the need to hide a part of yourself to fit in?
I think as long as I can remember that was so true. So it's me unlearning that, and I'm better at unlearning that than ever. But yeah. So that's me.
Yes, me too. I think, you know, I think this is probably a pretty common experience growing up as an immigrant, right? Like I wasn't born here, and potentially also maybe a little bit unique to growing up Asian in America, that like, I think I always wanted to hide the Asian-ness in order to fit in. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, everybody else seemed to have a historical legacy for being here,
right?
For better or for worse, right? And so,
right.
I didn't, right? My parents came here in 1977 with me, and I didn't look like, you know, the folks who were you know, who are in power or whatever, right? And so I think there is always this sense of like wanting to hide a part of that, right? I remember really early on that I didn't sound like others when I spoke, right? And I wanted to get rid of that, the accent really quickly. And I'd always thought that, you know, if I could pass the phone test, I would have made it. But that's probably a story that a ton of that a lot of Asian immigrants or immigrants of all sorts probably have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's I resonate with that story, and I think there's something about immigrants being the child of immigrants. It's this notion of like you don't really belong here. You're kind of, or you're auditioning to stay here. So either you perform to what's the standard that's in front of you. And that's And so to having to do that meant I felt like sometimes I had to hide elements of my identity. And so for sure, growing up predominantly white suburban Chicago and all these things that resonates. As I get, what I marvel now, I think right now as younger people, emerging leaders or emerging generations going, is they're actually figuring out how to hold their identities in a way that it's both, like it's both and. They're not, you know, I think that the old game was like, here's what it means to fit in. You fit, you fit in. Right now it's like, there's enough people that are like, I'm not playing that game.
Yeah.
You're not, right? It's no longer binary male, female. It's no longer pronouns. Like these are things, these are examples that I'm even trying to keep up with because I've learned how to play the game a certain way, if you will. But emerging generations have been actually, I need to be identified in this way and this is how I want to identify. And they're carving that out. They're not hiding that, which is amazing to me. That's amazing.
Right. Right.
It's awesome. And I'm still trying to figure that out, if that makes sense. No, you're right. I'm still trying to be, because that's what I've all wanted. I've wanted that, you know, but it doesn't mean I'm, that's accessible to me. Like I figured that out. So,
yeah. Last one. This is a good one to end on. The, what's the best part of being you?
What's the best part of being me? Ah. Okay. What are you thinking about, listener? What's the best part of you? I hope you're playing along at home. What's the best part of being you? How about you start and then I'll respond.
I love the punt there. you know, I think the best part of being me is that I am incredibly lucky to be able to do inspiring work that I love in trying to create a better city for our residents, for our friends and neighbors, right? I think that's something that has been true about me, not only just at Imagine, but at my previous job at Feeding Wisconsin, where, you know, trying to marshal the best part of my light to be in service of our community and in service of our friends and neighbors is probably the best thing about being me. It's the thing I most enjoy. I love that I'm able to do this job with folks like you, with folks like Lindsay, the rest of the folks on our team, our board, that I'm able to have interesting conversations with interesting people about interesting things. I think that's for me, right? And I can only be me in this context. I think that's the thing that I enjoy the most.
Say the question one more time.
What is the best part of being you?
So I have to admit, like the way I heard it, and I'm going to go super meta for the listeners. This is how immigrant I am. If this makes sense, I went to a place of what are you best at? Because immediately I was trying to prove that I'm worthy of something. And
you're only the best at being you, Mac.
That's true, right? But my first lean was I kind of go like, what am I good at? That's not what you asked, yeah. Right? That's not what you asked. That could be, again, that could be a unique human like frailty of mine. I also believe that I will claim that that's part of what it feels like to be the kid of immigrants at sometimes. Like when you don't totally feel like you belong, you're I'm trying to figure out why am I worthy of being
here.
So so when you say what's the best part of being you, as opposed to like, hey, what's the best, well, tell me about the great experiences you get to have just being you.
Yeah.
I don't even start there.
Right.
Honestly. So that's what I just had in this micro moment. I just had that sort of awareness of like, that's where I start. Doesn't mean it's correct. But that's what my experience, because that's my starting point. And now when I walk it back, right, and going, what is the best part of being me? I think it's my access to wonder and joy, because a lot of things make me laugh. And from that's really funny guttural reaction to like, oh, that's so fascinating. That's so neat. Like, oh, that's funny. You know, not funny, haha, but like, what that doesn't belong. What's up with that? And I get turned on, like my brain turns on and I'm clicking on rabbit holes. Like I love the discovery of things and I like making connections. And I think that is a cool thing, because then I will tie it back. I know what it's like to be left out, but I also know what it's like to be connected too. Right. And so I think sometimes when I'm making connections and finding these things, there's these ideas that are just written floating. It's kind of neat to find a way how it might have a way of aligning. And I know what it's like as a person to be aligned. And I do think I'm something, and you didn't ask, what are you best at? But I do think I'm finding a way to connect to somebody on a human level is something I have an ability to do. You know, David, I found myself, this is sort of in a past life when I lived in a much busier city like Chicago or something like Houston or something like that, where there's a lot more density in points. Mm-hmm. People ask me for directions all the time. Like, just what is it about my face? Like, hey, where do I go? Like, no, honestly, they would go past five people and then like, where do you think? And guys, I don't know where Carmen San Diego is. Like, I need Google Maps to figure it out. But there's something about me that people go, I can ask this dude something. I'm not wearing a sandwich board saying information here. I think there's something about me that's welcoming, that I'm giving out some vibe. I don't even mean to. And I think that's something that I inherently have. It's not always a positive thing. I have to have conflict sometimes, right? I have to stand up for myself. That goes against sometimes these things. And that's hard for me to, it's harder for me to access. But I do think, I do think I find myself able to connect and empathize. And I asked the question, well, wow. So if that was true, then what? Right? There's a lot of times people don't even want to acknowledge somebody else's truth. I actually go like, oh, that might be true. I know that sometimes I'll relay stories back to my partner about stuff. She's like, that can't, what do you think? That's crazy. I'm like, maybe it is, but I'm just starting from the possibility that's their truth. Maybe they're lying to me. I don't know. I don't start there. I start from like, that's their truth that they're starting with. And I can access that easier. And I think that gives me, I don't know, that I think that affords me an ability to see possibility in people and see possibility in connection. And I do think that that's that. And I think as a kid of immigrants, I think that's something got to be related to that somehow. It's got to be something there. So
this was fun. Mac, you and I have gotten to know each other pretty well over the last 10 years, and I did not expect to learn new things about you in today's pod.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, right? The best laid plans of mice and men often go awry, right? But yet what we do is we say yes to where we're in the moment, and what are we trying to do? And I think at the heart of it, right, what we wanted to do is still connect with our audience. And I think there is, you know, what is our connection today with arts and culture is that there's a curiosity and a wonder and a desire to be human are all parts of these that allow us to access these things. And I think our hope is that, can we access it today in real time? What does it mean to practice it and model it? Not to say we're the best at it. I got a lot of room for growth, man. But our hope is that we, by sharing it with our audience, our hope is you had a moment and you're going to take some moments with you, and hopefully you use those questions and invite you to share it with your fellow podcaster that you have or whatever. So
we will link the questions to the show notes, and please add us with your answers. We'd love to know. We'd love to know particularly what's the best part of being you. That's that was the one that sort of warmed my heart as I opened the page for the third one.
Also, it's not necessarily on brand for David Lee. That's not a David Lee question. It had to be from a book.
Yeah.
You will never hear, I have to say, it's probably odds are David is not going to offer that question just in a conversation. Hey, he might ask you, what would you like played, you know, on the Spotify playlist at your wake? That's a David Lee question. Or how do you handle the inevitability that we're all dust? How do you do that? What do you do to not go nuts? Like, that's a David Lee question. You know,
we are all going to the same place, just at different speeds.
Yes, that's right. We're all on the same slice of bread when you think
that's
about
right.
it.
That is right.
So that's this week's episode. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy this episode and you'd like to help support I didn't even do the bit, right, David? We're not even going to do the bit of like, I'm assuming if you're still listening.
If you made it this far.
What's up, Horner? What's up, Condon?
If you made it this far, you know exactly how this show is going to end.
Please share with it others, though. Post about on social. Leave a rating and review or contact us directly. We love mail. We love listener mail at pod@imagine.org.
Imagine This Podcast is a team effort produced, edited, and hosted by MacArthur Antigua, David Lee, and Lindsay Sheridan, and is the flagship of the Imagine MKE Podcast Network. Make sure you also listen and subscribe to Black Imagination and back episodes of Arts Forward MKE, all of which can be found at imaginemke.org/podcasts.
To catch all of the latest from Imagine MKE, hit us up at Twitter, Instagram at @imagine_MKE. Or if you really like Facebook algorithms, we're also hanging out there at Imagine MKE.
Thanks again, and we'll catch you next Tuesday when Christine Yoon from the Wallace Foundation joins us to talk about how to create more inclusive and representative arts organizations. And also later today, to help close the Milwaukee Rep's month-long celebration of AAPI Month, MAC.
Oh.
Yeah, don't forget that we got to do that later on today.
That's right.
Moderating a panel, Alexa Alfaro, Kim Kyra, the Honorable Angelito Tenorio, and yours truly on how arts, activism, and legislation come together to help AAPI representation in the arts.
Catch you next Tuesday. Voices carry.
It doesn't really work when we go that way.
It doesn't. Till Tuesday.